Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hall, for those stirring songs. And, you know, we ought to be glad when the Lord has allowed us to be here for another Sunday, another Lord's Day. We ought to be cheerful and grateful for His goodness toward us. And we can indicate that by simply saying, thank you, Lord. You know, first of all, before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the blessings that you have given unto us. Thank you for all of those that we received yesterday. Thank you for those we are receiving today, and we pray for those that we might receive on tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for having your Son to build His church that we may be able to come out and worship in it. Amen. Thank you, O Lord, for blessing us and giving us your Son, Jesus, to walk this earth for 30 plus years. And then, Father, you brought him back to heaven to be with you. We thank you. We're so ever thankful and so ever grateful for the privilege of being a child of God. Thank you, Lord, as we pray this morning for our leaders in this congregation. We pray for their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families. We pray for all of the members and their family, but we especially pray for those who might be sick this morning, Father, that if it be your will, you would grant them healing mercy and healing grace. Thank you, Lord. For those that might be traveling, we pray that they have traveling grace and arriving mercy. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to bless the leadership here this morning, the men who serve and strive to keep the church running in order the way you have prescribed it to run, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those who are here this morning. We thank you for those, Father, who are unable to be here with you, but we pray that they would be able to be here at the next appointed time. We thank you, O Lord, for food, shelter, and clothing. We thank you for the Bible school lesson this morning on looking up at the cross that Moses was set for us when you hung, bled, and died from it. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you for the lesson of the fiery serpent this morning, O Heavenly Father. We just thank you for everything you do for us. Now, my Heavenly Father, as I pray and ask you to go with us and watch over and keep us as we move on into this portion of the service, we pray for those who shall come from this point on. Especially, Lord, we pray that you help me to deliver this message this morning, or allow me to help you to deliver it if it be so, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray and ask it all. Amen. First of all, let me start out by saying to the ladies from last week, you did your usual fine job. And you know, I really very rarely eat when we have dinners in the back. I'm usually kind of scouting around and seeing if everybody is in check, you know, seeing it, making sure that we as the members are doing what we should do, and then making sure that the visitors have enjoyed themselves. And after everybody that walks by me, not a one complained about anything last week. So, you ladies, you must have done a fine job, and I want you to know that, because you deserve to know that you did do a fine job. The food was good, the service was right, and the price was right. So let us remember to always be on our best behavior when we have visitors. And with that, let us now go to our message. How God comforts us. At some point in time, we all need comforting. All of us as people hurt or are in need at some times of another, the comforts of God. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, in the words of Job 14:1, we are told that man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. So I know you're going to have some trouble if you live. No person who lived who has not or shall not have trouble and or sorrow. No one shall escape this life without sorrow, hurt, trouble, or pain. But let us not dwell on what caused our trouble and sorrows. Let us focus on God's comfort that he can give to us in our distressed times. So how does he comfort us? Well, very simply, he comforts us through his word, through his forgiveness. We should all be aware that sin brings on misery. Just the thought of this small three-letter word is enough to bring tears to a grown man's eyes. But for one who knows God and his power, we know we can seek forgiveness. In Proverbs, the 28th chapter and verse number 13, the Bible says, "He that covereth his sin shall not profit, but he whoso confesses and forsake them shall have mercy." Let us look at this for a moment. Let me tell you that right now, one cannot cover his sins. Oh, yes, you may be able to hide them for a little while, but eventually they will be found out. The only cure is to confess them to the Lord and turn your back on these sins. When one confesses his sins to God, one can find the comfort and mercy of God. Their conscience shall be at ease, according to 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we don't seek the comfort of God, we shall be paid for our sinful ways, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our choices are life or death. One who can speak to this matter is David, who firsthand knew the misery sin can bring. Watch his words in Psalms 32 and verse number 1 and 2. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." In other words, let your record show the comfort of God's forgiveness and not that of sin or iniquity. God comforts us through prayer. We're church-going folk. Do we know about prayer? All of us should know about prayer. God is good, and we reach God through prayer. In the book of Philippians, we find the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 4, verses 6 through in verse number 7. He writes, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And verse number 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Talk to God through prayer. And if you don't know what to talk about, I think that scripture gave you what to talk about. It says everything. All of us can have peace through Jesus Christ. When we're not sure what to pray about, just pray about everything. There's no subject God is not familiar with. So what can prayer do for us? Well, first of all, it does a miracle for us. It opens up the prayer relationship with us to God. This is very important for some of us, because some of us, we don't have a prayer relationship with God, except during troublesome times. For this is the only time many of us call upon him. But when we learn to pray about everything, that's new for some. I may as well tell you now, even when you go to him through prayer, especially if it's trouble and sorrow we bring to him, he may not remove the obstacle in our way, but you may find that it becomes easier for us to bear. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting around verse number 7, where Paul spoke of the thorn in the flesh that he had. He asked the Lord three times, if you will, to remove it. God answered and told him, His grace was sufficient for thee. So God did not take away the thorn in his side, the thorn. He just simply made it easier for him to bear. Nor did he remove the troubles, but he gave him grace to deal with it. So in other words, he will give us strength for our weakness and joy for our sadness. Church, what he did for Paul, he can do also for us. All we need to do is go to him in prayer. Now, when you read the text, look at the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. Now, that says a lot there. That says God has in his arsenal available all comfort. All means all, and there's nothing short. You can't abbreviate all. You just say all and accept it as being all. God comforts us with his word. Now, I'll tell you something, and I know most of you probably already know this. There is no other book like the Bible. The Bible is composed of 66 separate books written by many different writers who were inspired by God. It's truly a miracle book. It tells of our beginnings. It tells us of our life, and it teaches us regarding our eternity. Then it tells us why we can believe in it, and it also lets us know the reason for our hope. In Romans 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have, what word am I looking for? Hope. The Bible has left us a written record of the suffering Christ and a record of the pioneers of old leading to us to our Savior. The Old and the New Testament combine to form the words of God and gives us an example for us to learn out of the Scriptures. The Bible gives us comfort for times of sorrow. For example, when you have lost a loved one, it can bring you much comfort. When you are getting old, like many of us in this church this morning, we can be comforted with the confidence we need, and it can build our trust to know that no matter how long we live, we can count on God. Psalms 37 and verse number 25, when David penned these words, he said, I have been old, young, and I am now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, I like that verse, church. I like that verse because it tells of the one God who will see to it that the righteous are taken care of for their necessities. For the righteous will be provided for by the Lord. The Bible has been a bestseller for many years. I just wish it was also the best read. And rather than leaving it away on a shelf in their homes, many people do, only to mention it every now and then in a conversation. Having a Bible is not the same as studying a Bible. There are not extra points given for owning one. The joy comes from reading and studying it. Do you remember in Luke chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, where the prodigal son wanted to dine with the pigs, but he came to himself. He realized his father had more than enough bread for him to dine on. Our Heavenly Father confessed can feed us with an abundant supply of all we need. He can give us comfort in our times of need. Do you ever come to think about it? But the Lord knows what we are going through. He just wants to hear it from us. He knows when we are going through it. He also knows where we are going through it at, but he wants us to know what we need. And he knows how to get to where we are. And he can fix it up if we but ask. The Lord has the comforts we will ever, all the comforts we will ever need to go to him and ask for his comforts. When we receive God's comfort, then we shall pass them on. Look at verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, when you are comforted, you need to pass that comforting on. I think today they call it something like paying it forward. But this has already been prescribed in the Bible. We are to comfort others when we have been comforted. So when you look at this text again, the Bible says in verse 3 again, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comforts wherewith ourselves are comforted of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in any trouble, but I think if you just continue to live, you're going to get in some trouble. You're going to have some trouble come into your life. I don't mean trouble where you wind up in jail or anything like that. I mean stuff that happens in life. Something is going to come up in your life, and it's going to be what we call an emergency. It may be what we call an emergency. And I have yet to have an emergency come and warn me that it's coming. It just doesn't happen that way. That's why they're called emergencies. They knock on your door when you least expect them. And an emergency tells you, here I am, I'm here. I'm here to create trouble in your life. But you know something? God can give comfort for all the trouble in life we have. It may be your spouse. Lord knows spouses can cause each other much pain and heartache. It may be your job. And oh, the jobs can cause a lot of heartaches and headaches for you, can't it, church? You know, when I embarked some years ago upon this thing called retirement, I didn't retire because I wanted to. I retired because I had to, but that's another story. But let me tell you something about this life called retirement. I found out, I asked myself the question, with all that you do in retirement, when did you find time to work? But I had to work. I had to work because I needed to live for me and my family. But, you know, it's so good that God has allowed us who are retired to be retired. You can wake up in the morning, and you don't have to get up if you don't want to when you wake up. You can roll over and face the wall and continue to sleep some more. You also don't have to get up and get no clothes together to go to work, because you are retired. God has given you the privilege to live long enough to be retired, and you ought to thank him each and every morning when you wake up. And when you get up, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for this life called retirement. Then, when you are retired, you see what work, how much work there is for you to do for the Lord. You can get busy and get to work for the Lord. Now, I thank God for the ability for us to still be able to move about in this retirement life. And then I think about the church often. I think about the church when I say to myself, I say, self, what about the church? Well, the church was built by Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 and verse number 18, where he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the Lord gave us the comforts of his church, of his wisdom and his knowledge and his saving grace. And then I think about how well the church can work to help others become members of the body of Christ. And you know, I think about how much trouble many of us face in this life. And when I think about how we face these troubles in this life, I think about who can solve all these issues that we have in this life. Nobody but Jesus Christ. Sometimes it gets so hard to bear, and I often say this, and I'm going to say it again, but there's nothing wrong with a man crying. Sometimes men think that they don't supposed to cry, but sometimes you have to cry because the troubles and sorrows of this life get on you so bad you can't help but to cry. And any real man don't mind crying because he knows he has a Father in heaven that he can go to relieve him of his troubles and his sorrows. And whether your troubles are money troubles, domestic troubles, sickness trouble, or accidental troubles, they're still troubles, and you're going to have them. That's why I was so glad to hear that the Bible is God's handiwork, that we are God's handiwork, and the Bible is our instruction manual. Look at what the text says again in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. God has all the comfort you'll ever need, all the comfort you'll ever want, all the comfort that you can ever ask for. Man can sell you a bunch of aspirins and a bunch of pills for your headaches, but God can solve your headaches by solving the problems and the troubles that you face. That's getting to the root of the problem. God never prescribed an aspirin for any of us. God never prescribed a pill to stop us from hurting, but thank God, through the wisdom and the knowledge of mankind and medical history, we can now have pills to solve many of our heartaches, many of our aches and our pains. But I thank God this morning, for he is the comfort of all. He has the comforts for all and of all. And then verse 4, once again, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You read that word in there, all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comforts where we with ourselves are comforted of God. Tell somebody about God, in other words. Let somebody know that God is able, God is good, God is willing, God is ready, and God is able to solve whatever their issues might be. I think sometimes how that God has allowed us to be here another morning. He allowed us to have another Sunday morning. Sunday morning in your house ought to be a get out and go to church day. Sunday morning in your house ought to be his time to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth day. Not a get up so we can go out and rake the leaves out of the yard day. Not a day to wax the car and get the car get together for the winter. You see, winter is going to come whether you get the car ready or not. If you live, you're going to meet old man winter, because it's coming. But Sunday is a day to praise the Lord, and a day to get out of your, come from your house to God's house. Now, when I think even a little further about it, first of all, let me say just how good God is. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And I know God is good because, you know, just a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago, I asked you all to pray for the pilots for Southwest Airlines. Because I didn't know which one of them I was going to be riding with, but I did ride with two of them, and they brought me safely to and from my destination. Brought me back home, me and Sister Carter back home again. And when I got up there and I got to the airport and they said the flight is full, well, on the way back, they said the flight was overbooked. And they asked for volunteers to wait for the next flight. So Sister Carter asked me, do you want to get up there and do that? I said, no, because my luggage will be there and I'll be here and I may never see it again. So I said, let's just stick with this. I said, as long as we get a seat, because they're not going to let you stand. So long as you get a seat, you'll be okay. So we got a seat. Yes, it was full, but yes, the pilot did a good job, and God allowed him, God held his hand on the plane and held it up in the air and let that pilot guide us and bring us home. And I'm so thankful for that. And we even got here a couple of minutes early. But I just want to say that God gave me the comfort to know that even in times of trouble, in times of stressful situations, he will be there to comfort you. He will be there for you if you just go to him and ask. But a lot of folk don't like to pray. A lot of us don't like to pray that often. We like to pray when my back is against the wall. When my plate is not as full as it should be, then I pray. But see, you ought to pray when your plate is just half full as well as when it's full. You ought to pray when troubles are not at your hand. You ought to pray for the goodness that God has allowed you to stay out of trouble for a little while. And I go back to that prodigal son again when, you know, that's an awful thought. That you are so hungry, you think about dining with the pigs. I don't know if any of you are familiar with what pigs eat, but pigs eat what you don't eat. They eat exactly, somebody said the right word, slop. If you've ever been on a farm or been with some of your relatives down in the south and you watch them, they take a bucket of old garbage and stuff that you don't want, and they pour it out to the pig. Now, I hope I don't turn you against eating pork chop. Well, they get to eat, Sister Williams, they get to eat what you didn't eat. And I've been out there with them when they take the slop out. And I thought I didn't want another pork chop, but I still do. I still do. You see, God can comfort everything that we face in this life. Even getting me over thinking I don't want something when I really do. God will comfort you in your times of need, and he will comfort you in your times of want. God will supply all of our needs. I know that God is all right with me, and I hope that I'm all right with him, and I pray that you're all right with him as well, and he's all right with you. Now, when I consider those people who only pray when they're in trouble, I ask the question of myself, why would you wait till trouble hit to pray? Why not pray and have what's called preventative maintenance? Pray before trouble hits. Just like when you take your car into the auto shop, the mechanic asks you, well, what's wrong with it? What's it doing? What are the symptoms? Well, you have to explain it to him because he don't know until you tell him. Well, see, God already knows every last one of us, and he knows what our symptoms are. He knows what's coming our way. He knows what is to be and what's not to be. But all we need to do is just keep in prayer, so we'll keep an open relationship, an open prayer relationship with him. And then back to that son who had decided to dine with those pigs is where I started at. When he decided to dine with the pig, something came into his mind, and his mind said, your father has bread to spare, and you're going to get ready to eat with the pigs. Well, I thank God that God can relieve us of all of our troublesome situation. We don't have to dine with the pig. We can dine on the pig. But thank God, for God will provide all of our needs, and he will supply all of our needs. Now, somebody might say, well, will he allow me to win the lottery? That's not a need. That's a want. So I think about it. And I say, the Bible says God has the comforts, all comfort. And if God has all comfort, then what can I be lacking if God has everything in his hand? He's got the, you know that old song, he's got the whole world in his hands? You learned it when you were going to grammar school? Most of us did, many of us did. Well, I thank God that he does have the world in his hand because he can comfort the world. You know, this world is evil right now. And I'm going to just, before I forget, I'm going to throw this out there. Tuesday, I want all of you to get out and go vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I want you to get out there and go vote. Don't get lazy and say, well, it might rain. I'm not going out there. Go out there anyway before it rains or when the rain stops. Just go and vote. Now, I got that out. That was a public service announcement for the morning. Now, when I get back to that young man as he was about to dine with those pigs again, I think about that the Lord brought it to his mind that his father had everything that he may want. Our Father has everything that we may want and everything that we may need. Again, not what we want all the time, but he does have what we want, but he might not give you what you want, but he certainly will supply your needs. So how do I partake of this goodness of God, these comforts of God? Very simply, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And somebody out there may say, well, I did that 25 years ago. Well, but if you've walked astray, you need to come back home. You need to ask God to bless you and forgive you for what your shortcomings may have been. Then come forward, ask the church to pray for you. And you know something? There's nothing wrong with standing before the church, asking the church to help you to get through this life. There's nothing wrong with asking somebody else to pray for you or with you. There's nothing at all wrong with it. Because we need each other. We've got to rely on one another. I can't do it all and you can't do it all. We do it together. If just one of us thought we had it all, think how empty the church would be. Because nobody would come because you know it all. You have it all. But thank God we can work together and we can build the church. We can grow the church. And I know it looks scarce in here today, but that's okay. There'll be another Sunday, and Lord's will, we'll be here for another Sunday. And it might be full then. We just keep hoping and keep praying that the Lord will fill the house because the Lord doesn't like an empty house. The Lord wants a full house. And one day, I don't know if we'll all be here, but one day the house is going to be full. And not because it's a funeral either. It'll be because they want to hear the Lord's word and be taught of what thus saith the Lord. Then we can understand better about the Lord. So with that said, if there's anyone who feels the urge to come forward, you can do so at this time as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.